President Donald Trump held a campaign-style rally in Pensacola as part of a weekend trip across the Gulf Coast, less than 20 miles from the Alabama state line and just 4 days before the hotly contested Senate race between Doug Jones and Roy Moore. Some political experts believe the event would be a de facto campaign stop for Roy Moore. Others said Trump was there to thank the Pensacola area for their strong support during last year's election. APR's Alex Aubuchon was on hand at the rally and files this report.
Thousands of supporters braved freezing rain and near-freezing temperatures in Pensacola Friday night to cheer on President Donald Trump. Attendees came from all over. I spoke to several from the Pensacola area, as well as a few who drove a long way to attend, like Roy Seitz, who drove 4 hours from Louisiana to show his support for the president.
I'm here to cheer him on and support everything he says. I pretty much am on board with everything he is promising the American public.
Maurice Simonette traveled all the way from Miami to turn out for Trump. He led a group of supporters who wore T-shirts and held signs reading Blacks for Trump 2020.
It's just a group of brothers and sisters that are supporting Trump. That's all. Because he's the bright man for the job, and he's taking taxes down and getting rid of all these stupid regulations that keep you from doing business. So that's why we're with them.
President Trump even gave the group a shout out during his speech.
I love these guys. Look at these guys. Blacks for Trump. I love you. I love you. By the way, now that you bring it up, black home ownership just hit the highest level it's ever been in the history of our country. Congratulations.
That's not true, by the way. Peak African American home ownership was 49.7% in the middle of 2004. That, according to the Census Bureau, it's currently hovering around 42%. One thing on most of the rallygoers' minds was how the president would address Alabama's Senate election. Richard Foss of nearby Cantonment, Florida, mentioned a story that had broken earlier that day.
Really, I'm kind of interested to see if he's going to say something about the news that came out today about that accuser, Roy Moore, actually writing more stuff in her yearbook.
President Trump didn't disappoint.
So did you see what happened today? You know, the yearbook? Did you see that? There was a little mistake made. She started writing things in the yearbook. What are we going to do? Gloria Allred. Anytime you see her, you know something's going wrong.
Plenty of Friday night's attendees will be eligible to vote in tomorrow's election.
How many people here are from the great state of Alabama? Whoa.
I spoke with two of those people, Gwen McCrory and Mark Glass, both of Theodore, Alabama, and asked them who they'll be voting for. Ms. McCrory didn't waste any time.
For everything he's done in his past, I hope he brings that with him. He's a good guy.
Glass, though, was a little more hesitant.
Just Republican, just always. I have to. It's obligated at this point.
For his part, President Trump didn't have much to say about Roy Moore as a candidate. Not the case with his opponent.
We can't afford to have a liberal Democrat who is completely controlled by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. We can't do it. Can't do it. His name is Jones, and he's their total puppet, and everybody knows it. He will never, ever vote for us.
Trump did stress the importance of Moore's vote in the Senate.
We need somebody in that Senate seat who will vote for our Make America Great Again agenda.
And he did end up offering a full endorsement.
So get out and vote for Roy Moore. Do it. Do it. Do it.
The special election for U.S. Senate between Doug Jones and Roy Moore is tomorrow. Polls are open from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. To find your polling place, you can head to alabamavotes.gov. But regardless of how tomorrow's election pans out, I did overhear one conversation that proves some debates will never be settled.
Ohio actually had a better record.
Yeah, but that ain't the point.
Ohio will be three top 15 teams.
I'm Alex Aubuchon, Alabama Public Radio News in Pensacola, Florida.
What got Ohio was Iowa. Was it Iowa that beat them?
Yep. Yeah.
That's what, I mean, who in the heck, you? Why
by
do you?
By 31 points.
Yeah, and wait a minute. They gave them the last touchdown. If you remember, they had the third string in there.
The political world is still reeling from reports in the Washington Post about Roy Moore. The paper quotes four women from Alabama who say the Republican candidate pursued them sexually when they were teenagers. One of these women was just 14 years old at the time, and Moore was 32. Supporters of the twice-removed Alabama Chief Justice are lining up behind, while GOP leaders in Washington are keeping their distance. Other observers are watching elsewhere in Moore's race against Democrat Doug Jones for Alabama's junior U.S. Senate seat. APR's Pat Duggins reports, they see an Alabama that may be showing small signs of change.
I'm hoping for the best.
Bill Eubanks is from the town of Pinson. He's also a voter with something specific in mind.
That we will get someone in office who is honest and reputable and loyal and will do the right thing regardless of their personal motivations.
Eubanks is talking about the race for Alabama's junior U.S. Senate seat, and considering the events of the past few days, what he's looking for may seem a little more difficult. Like any general election race, it's a tale of two candidates.
They told me in 1997, when I became U.S. attorney, that prosecuting a case that was almost 40 years old is a long shot.
That's Democrat Doug Jones during a rally in Birmingham. His message appears to be Alabama, warts and all, can be better.
But you know what? When you are on the right side of history and the right side of justice, you can do anything.
And for the Republicans.
Well, we're in Alabama. And in Alabama, for the rest of the world to hear, we dare defend our rights. We don't stop kicking.
That's former Chief Justice Roy Moore. His heavily Christian message appears to be Alabama is okay as it is.
We've got to go back to God. We've got to go back to a moral base.
And it's not just voters like Bill Eubanks who are looking for answers. Others are watching how the race between Roy Moore and Doug Jones represents change in Alabama, just not quick change.
When people think about public opinion change, they have this kind of conversion image, like people go to bed one way and then they wake up the next morning thinking completely differently.
That's Dr. Steve Borelli. He teaches Southern political science at the University of Alabama.
And most, you know, large-scale movements in public opinion don't work that way.
Doug Jones' progressive message appears to be holding its own against Roy Moore's conservative Christian one. A poll taken on Friday by Decision Desk and Opinion Savvy puts the race in a dead heat. A survey released just yesterday by JMC Analytics and Polling gives Jones a 4-point lead over Moore. Both men are born and bred Alabamians. Jones is from Birmingham and Moore is from Gadsden. And they're only 7 years apart in age. Moore is 70 and Jones is 63. Despite that slight age difference, Borelli says Jones reflects growing up in the turbulent civil rights era of the 1960s.
I think what Doug Jones has done that is take that traditional defensiveness, like we're not as bad as we're being made to seem, and couple it with a more progressive argument for genuine change.
Borelli says that reflects a time in the 1970s and 80s when political power in Alabama was more evenly split between the parties. However, GOP reactions in Alabama following the Washington Post allegations of child molestation against Moore indicates how strongly his followers and supporters are standing by him. State Auditor Jim Ziegler, for example, compared Moore's situation to that of an underage Virgin Mary who was wed to the older Carpenter Joseph. Borelli says the evangelical notion of forgiveness and redemption might work in Moore's favor. Maybe.
It didn't really work for Robert Bentley.
Borelli is referring to Governor Robert Bentley, who made no bones about his Christian faith during his campaign and his time in office. Borelli says Alabama seemed less forgiving after Bentley pleaded guilty to two misdemeanor campaign finance violations. He was also tape-recorded making sexually explicit comments to a female aide. Borelli says Roy Moore's situation appears to be different from Bentley's.
Even though he portrayed himself as traditional values type Christian, I don't think that was as central to his image as a politician as it is for Roy Moore. I mean, Roy Moore has really kind of staked his reputation on that.
Within hours of the Washington Post story, we put that question to APR political commentator Steve Flowers. The former Republican Alabama State House member thinks Moore's followers aren't swayed.
They believe this late in the campaign that something that comes up that may have happened 30 or 40 years ago in hearsay and he said, she said, scenario, they're going to look at it as political sabotage by liberal Washington Post media.
However, that may not apply to everyone in Alabama. The Doug Jones campaign has been holding rallies in communities including Mobile, Birmingham, Huntsville, and Tuscaloosa. Borelli says that may not be accidental and a specific voter is the target.
Some of the strange voters Voters for Strange. Something you've heard before, I'm sure.
Borelli is referring to moderate Republicans who backed Luther Strange in his failed primary bid against Roy Moore. It appears the Doug Jones camp is trying to get these people to jump ship and abandon Moore. Steve Flower says it may be working.
You can go through neighborhoods of upscale urbane establishment Republican neighborhoods throughout the state, in Tuscaloosa or Birmingham or Mobile, and you see Doug Jones signs in almost every yard.
Which takes us back to people like Bill Eubanks. He came to hear Doug Jones speak at a rally in Birmingham.
I knew his record, that he had tried Eric Rudolph and the KKK for the 16th Street bombing.
Eubanks is mixing cases from Jones' days as a U.S. attorney. He led the prosecution against Rudolph for the 1996 Olympic Park bombing and successfully convicted two Klansmen for the 1963 bombing in Birmingham. Eubanks is registered as an independent, but he's leaning Democratic.
And I don't see how you fake that. He seemed to me like he spoke from the heart.
But for every voter going for Doug Jones, the polls say another voter is going for Roy Moore. So unless something big breaks, we may not know the results until the ballots are counted. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Birmingham.
We're just 1 week away from the special general election to pick Alabama's next junior U.S. senator. Republican Roy Moore is refusing to take questions over ongoing allegations of sexual misconduct, child abuse, and attempted rape. He is willing to talk about Democrat Doug Jones's stance in favor of abortion rights. APR student reporter Allison Mollenkamp looked into what women in Alabama currently face when they choose to end a pregnancy.
We all sat there for 9 hours and almost none of us spoke.
That's Christina Frantum. I meet her in a coffee shop here in Tuscaloosa to hear her story of when she decided to have an abortion.
We had to wait. There's a group of us, probably about 20 women, who had to wait at the clinic for about 9 hours in order for the practitioner to arrive.
20 women waited for 9 hours that day at the Planned Parenthood in Birmingham. It's one of 5 clinics that perform abortions in Alabama. That's a lot fewer than some other states. Florida has 71, but it's more than some others, too. Mississippi just has 1. Having so few means that many women live a significant distance from their nearest provider. However, there are people to help.
I generally just kind of fill in the gaps. It's mostly based out of Huntsville.
This is Victoria Smith. She's a volunteer with the Alabama Reproductive Rights Advocates, or ARRA. She's also the proud owner of 3 dogs who wanted to get a word in, too.
But occasionally there will be patients in Tuscaloosa that need a ride or need a place to stay. We've got an RV, and patients are always welcome to stay overnight if they have a 2-day procedure.
Rides and places to stay are AARA's way of helping women seeking abortions. Even once you're at the clinic, though, there are challenges. Christina Frantum had advantages a lot of women don't in terms of being able to take time off and having health insurance. Here she is again.
A lot of the women who were there had to leave and come back and make other arrangements. And so I got to see firsthand, like as it happened in real time, not just the laws, but also the social repercussions.
There are lots of challenges associated with taking 9 hours out of your workday. In addition to transportation and perhaps a place to stay, these women needed time off from their jobs and, in some cases, money for childcare. Frantum says those barriers are made worse by a law in Alabama that requires counseling.
Really, it's just like here's the point of no return, and then here's the point of no return, and then here's the point of no return.
Victoria Smith sees the counseling a little differently. She used to administer it.
It's not counseling. It's an informed consent. And my job was basically to scare the shit out of somebody who was already scared.
In Alabama, counseling is required 48 hours before an abortion can be performed. That adds to the time necessary to get an abortion. It's also not the only thing that may scare abortion seekers. Protesters are a common sight at clinics in Alabama, so common that some clinics have defenders.
What a defender is speaking to companions.
Helmi Henkin is a member of the West Alabama Women's Clinic Defenders. I meet her outside of the Tuscaloosa clinic early one morning.
They just open up to us about their lives, the circumstances that brought them to the clinic. You learn a lot about somebody just from how emotionally vulnerable they are, because this is such an emotionally vulnerable experience for them.
Logistically, Henkin's work is simple. She walks people from their cars to the clinic. That way, they don't have to interact with protesters.
A lot of times, they give false information, or they encourage going to the Crisis Pregnancy Center as your first appointment.
Crisis Pregnancy Centers, by the way, are not abortion clinics. They encourage other options, such as adoption.
And they tell them that the Crisis Pregnancy Center counts for your first appointment, which it doesn't.
I go back to the West Alabama Women's Clinic in Tuscaloosa a few days later to hear from the protesters themselves. I met with a quieter scene than I expected.
We are out here, we pray, and we fast.
That's Paul Lake. He's with a group called 40 Days to Life, which is not associated with 40 Days for Life.
They're kind of in trouble and just try to help them get out of trouble.
When Christina Frantum went to Birmingham for her abortion, there were protesters. She thought their rhetoric might upset some of the other women, so she went to talk to them.
It was all women, and they all had the signs, you know, the horrible signs that are shaming and terrible. And then as I was speaking to them, they were saying that they were all telling their personal stories of their children who they didn't abort and how they were going to but then didn't, and how they feel guilty that they considered it.
She says many of the women have children with special needs and protest as a way to advocate for their own children.
That's the irony of it, right? Is women who are terminating pregnancies, they're making the most important decision as mothers that they possibly can for their children, unborn or otherwise. And so that was kind of broke my brain a little bit, the irony that, you know, people are standing on two sides with the same motivation.
Frantum says her decision to get an abortion came from knowing what it means to be a mother and a co-parent. At the time, she was 34, divorced, and a mother to one daughter. She did not want a child from an abusive relationship that was about to end. Looking back on the experience, she doesn't regret her decision.
But I do have one regret for that. On that day, there was one woman in there who was younger, and she probably cried the entire time. And nobody spoke to her or comforted her.
Frantum says for any other medical procedure, there is a community of support. But around abortion, especially in Alabama, there's mostly silence. For APR News, I'm Allison Mollenkamp in Tuscaloosa.